The other day, Michael and I went to Truro Anglican Church last Sunday, and we spoke at the rector's class. It was in between services, which was a really great time. We answered a bunch of questions. This is about Messianic Judaism, Yeshua, and what, you know, praying for Jewish people, sharing Yeshua with them. And it was very sweet. I love that stuff. I'm sure I can speak on Michael's behalf and say he enjoys it too. And then just the other day, when we went to get the congregational mail, there were two people involved in getting us in there. And the gentleman, on his behalf, and the other woman, wrote us a note and included a very generous donation to the congregation. So it was very touching. I called him and thanked him. I just wanted to say that, you know, we are out there trying to, one of our efforts in not only sharing Yeshua with the Jewish community, but bridging, making relationships within the Christian community. And I just thought that was an amazing gesture on their behalf. It was very touching. So it's the unity of the body is extremely important, something I'll be touching upon today. And then the second thing is, just out of the blue, we get this envelope, and I'll paraphrase for you. Basically, this woman writes this handwritten note, says that she and they're part of this neighborhood in Ravensworth Farm, which is not far from here, just off Lake Accotink. And a bunch of moms, and they got their kids together. And in light, I don't know if they're Christian. I would assume, but I don't know, that they wrote, they had their kids create, and I wanted to share because it's for us. They had them create stuff like this just to encourage. They said, the Jewish community in our community, they had their kids write, you know, create little things. It said, we know love and kindness, which, I mean, it's nice, but I was really touched. I'm honestly, I'm going to go out that. She didn't leave a number, but I'm going to pop over at some point, it's probably next week, and to say thank you. But I want to leave these out there in the foyer or bring them downstairs. You can just see, I just thought it was really sweet that they would do this for us. It really blessed me. And to see that there are people out there, I really believe that God not only actively uniting the body of Messiah, but also even behind the scenes, we had no idea that some people would do such a thing. If they're not believers already, I definitely want to share with them more about who we are, because it was really amazing, really amazing. So let's pray. Yeah, thank God, thank God. So let's pray. Father, speak through me, edify your body here, build us up, and grow in our love for you and for your son, Yeshua. Yeshua's name, amen. Okay, so Hanukkah, you know, you could probably expect the typical, we should dedicate ourselves to God. It's like, what am I going to say that's kind of new and fresh? You know, think of it like donuts, right? No one wants an old donut, right? You want the fresh off the conveyor belt, like you go to Krispy Kreme and it's still warm. That's the kind of donut you're looking for. So, like, what could I say that is going to be, that just will edify us and build us up? And I thought of we know about the nuclear family, so I put a little twist on it. Watch out. The nuclear mishpacha, right? In Hebrew for family, or as you might know it in Yiddish, is mishpacha. Talking about the centrality that we are a family. Now, this is something I've touched upon before, but as I've said to you before, that you have to repeat things for people to get in. And you also, so I've added some new things and some cool illustrations. I mean, this is a treat. Rosh Chodesh, Shabbat, Chanukah. This, I mean, it's amazing. So let's go to the main scripture, and that's something I've also touched upon, which also, you know, scripture, you can have one lesson, and then you can have something else. Scripture is, just like God, is multifaceted. So people said, well, I've already read that book. Great. So read it again, and you can find something new. And God may show you new things that you may have never seen before. Even in Jewish interpretation of Scripture, there are multiple levels of interpretation. They can't contradict one another, but they can go to deeper, cooler levels. So if you've seen, well, he's already done this sermon. No, I haven't. It's a new thing on maybe an old thing. All right. Next slide, please. Boom. So the heart of the matter. We talk about the temple. I don't know what's going on with me. We're talking about the temple, right? Hanukkah is about rededicating the temple. It was, if you read the book of 1 Maccabees. It's not in the Bible, but you can still get a hold of it. I'm sure you can find it online. It's mainly just a collection of military battles. And, of course, we know it's about the dedication temple. 1 Maccabees 4 talks about that once they defeated the evil armies of the Greek the Syrian Greeks, that they went back to Jerusalem and they saw the temple in disarray. It was defiled. There was pig's blood. There was an altar of Zeus. And so they said, we got to cleanse this. It says, I didn't know this before, that the main altar was just so bad that they actually took it apart and put a new one in there. So they dedicated it back to God, and they celebrated it as an eight-day celebration of rededication. And then eventually the story of the oil lasting for 8 days came about. Maybe it happened, maybe it didn't. Nonetheless, we dedicated the temple back to God. But really, to understand the temple, let's go back to the origins of the temple, which was the tabernacle, right? The Mishkan, the dwelling place of God that accompanied the children of Israel in the desert per the instruction of Moses by the hands of Bezalel and a couple other guys. So if you notice, now this is not the exact picture, haven't found it on Google yet, but this is probably something like this. If you read the book of Numbers, which is not the most exciting, but it is important, you see that the tabernacle is at the center of the camp, and different tribes were to be oriented around the camp. And then the Levitical tribes were the closest ones, and then everyone else was scattered around north, south, east, and west. If you notice, the tabernacle is at the center of this people. Now, this 600,000 men, but anywhere between 2 and 3 million people if you include women and children. That's a lot of people. This, the presence of God, the where the God is worshipped, where people come to engage in him, is the heart of the people. That they were to be sent, and this is a living model of the life that they were to live when they came into the land of Israel. That God would be at the heart of the Jewish people. And even we see all the way to the very end of the story with Revelation is that God says finally that God, there will be no temple because God will be with his people ever expansively. He won't need a physical location. He'll be with his people. But until that day comes, that the presence of God and where God dwells is to be the heart of his people. That's why the temple is so important. Next slide. Now, here we see in Acts 2. Now, this is when God established the new covenant, really comes into full effect with the giving of the Spirit. This is after the Holy Spirit falls upon the disciples. Peter gives his big speech, cuts people to their heart. And so this is where we pick up. So it says, those who received his message were immersed. And on that day, about 3,000 souls were added. They were devoting themselves to the teaching of the emissaries, and to fellowship, to breaking bread, and to prayers. Fear lay upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were happening through the emissaries. And all who believed were together, having everything in common. They began selling their property and possessions and sharing them with all as any had need. Day by day, they continued with one mind, spending time at the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were sharing meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and every day the Lord was adding to the number of those being saved. If you notice, essentially the main thing to take away from here is that the people were together, they were committed to one another, they were a family. And the center of that family was the presence of God and being in the presence of God and taking care of one another. And what happened, the consequence? More and more people were being added to them. The family got bigger. God loves family. God loves being with us. And he doesn't want to just be with us. He wants more people to come in. But the only way that more people to come in is if that those already here immerse themselves in God and with one another. We have to be committed to God and to one another. If we want to see anything happen in the outside community, that is the only way to do it. Now, we could start a cult, and it's a little bit easier, but this is the good way to do it. We have to be centered around God. They were, day by day, they continued with two minds. No, wait a second, like Brooke was saying, it's one mind. Spending time at the temple and breaking bread from house to house. So they lived at the temple, and they were together eating with one another. I'm sure they prayed at home, too. They were sharing meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God. And even in turn, it had favor with other people. Now, of course, if you read the rest of Acts, they're also persecuted, but they don't even care. Because God is lifted up, and when they leave, even when Peter and John leave, they leave rejoicing that they were even considered worthy to be persecuted. Try to sell that one on TV. They were committed and focused and centered around God and his place of worship. Yes, they were individuals, but they were individuals in a community focused around God, at the heart of the matter, the presence of God, where God dwells. Next. So you have to ask yourself, we're talking about the heart. Yeshua gives us a very poignant admonition, is that your heart follows your treasure. So you have to ask yourself, where is my treasure? Consequently, where is my heart? So Yeshua says to us, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now heaven, in Yeshua's terms, is not some sort of fanciful place in the sky. Heaven is where the presence of God is. It's the kingdom of God. That's heaven. So basically he's saying you can store up, you can invest in this earth where things will waste away and they'll rust, they'll be eventually just time, you know, there's a law of entropy, things will just break apart. Or if you store things in the kingdom of God, they'll live forever. You know, like the volatility of the stock market, why put yourself in a stock that's going to go up and down, up and down? You start taking blood pressure pills. You can't sleep at night. Put your money in a stock that always goes up. And the elections, they don't affect it. And the market never closes. You know, I mean, it's good. It's a better market. And it's not subject to the psychology of men. Invest in the things of God. Ask yourself, where is my treasure? What do I cherish most? Is it earthly things? Is it things that consume me on this earth? That really, if I look at it, are temporary things? And don't get me wrong, there are fun things to do on this earth. That's not what he's saying. You become some sort of monk. But what he is saying is that where is my heart? Is that my ultimate primary passion is to serve the kingdom of God and to see the things of God come to pass? Then good. And you can do those other things. You can go see a movie. You know, you can do fun things. But if that's what consumes you, this is where all your time and energy takes place, then you got to say, is this really where I want my heart? Is this really where I want to put my treasure? Would you put precious gold in this place where there's risk of losing it and it getting destroyed? Would you rather invest knowing that you get a great return and that it's never going to go away and people will reap the benefit from it? So you're not only giving it to God, but you're sowing it to other people, those here and those out there. And I'm not going to give you the answer because I want you to ask yourself this. Where's your treasure and where's your heart? Where are you investing your time and energy? Where are you investing your treasures, your physical treasures? Ask yourself, where am I investing them and where is my heart? Do some searching, right? It's Hanukkah. Go into your temple, look around for things and seeing where is my heart? Does it need to be cleansed? Where are my treasures? Does it need to be dedicated to God? Next. Right? Because we know the heart provides for all. It's kind of cool, right? Here's, you see, the heart, right? The chest of a man or a woman, and it blood pumps out to everywhere. You can't get blood from another muscle or organ. Now, Yeshua is our head. But this building, this community, is our heart. And if you want to get nutrients, you want to have life flowing through you, because where is our soul? Where is our life? It's in the blood. So how do you get blood? You get connected to the heart. Yeshua is our head, and this is our heart. And the stronger the heart is, the more blood it can pump, and the better the body functions. So ironically, the more you invest in the heart and you make it stronger, the more you'll actually be fed. Whoa! The more you invest, the better you'll be. Because the heart is stronger. The finger can't say, oh, I need more blood. Help. That finger has to do some work to make the heart stronger. Has to be done. You have to invest in the vitality and the strength of the heart in order for you to be fed. Amazing. But there's no way around it. And this is the way God's always meant for it to be. The individual invests in the community, and the individual is fed by the community. Apart from the community, I don't know what you're going to get. You know what you're actually going to get? Next slide. Boom. Yes. This is food. Kinda. It looks good. My Orly saw it this morning. She goes, ooh, dessert. This is food, right? Maybe for college, but after college, it's not really food. Imagine if you ate this all the time. Do you ever see Super Size Me? Oh, guy eats McDonald's every day, every meal. How does he go to the doctor? And the guy's like, you're going to die. Yes, you can go there and have your cheat meal, enjoy yourself, a little Sunday party. But if you lived off this, it's not going to go well for you. You got to eat real food. You got to drink real drink, not soda or diet soda. Try water. Soda water is good. Pure squeeze juice. This is the place, because who gives us drink and food that satisfies? Yeshua. Where's Yeshua? He's here. If we want nutrients that's going to feed us and sustain us and make us better, we have to come here and eat. Outside, out in the world, and all those other things that's out that the world wants to give us, that's that. Again, it's okay. A little bit. Like we have donuts for Hanukkah. That's great. But if that's your breakfast every day, good luck. You know, it's not going to go well. You have to eat food that satisfies, that builds you up, that strengthens you. You have to drink something that satisfies, you know, that gives you what your body needs. And you get it from the body of Messiah. We have to see that this is the place where we're fed and we're able to feed as we actually invest and strengthen it. Next. It's also a place, you know, anytime a military operation does well, it's because it has great intelligence. And in order for operations to know what they're doing, and even for you know, certain operations to happen, it needs to see from eyes that they can't see. So when you're trying to act like Lone Ranger, but you have no idea, you're most likely going to get hurt. Whereas you're connected to the central command, then you'll get information that you didn't know. And this applies for the body. And this also applies for individuals. A lot of people say, I want to know the will of God for my life. Great. Ironically, invest inside when you're here, connected here more. You'll know specifically what you as an individual need to do. I know from my life, when I was struggling, where do I go? What do I do? Which way is up? It was when I spent more time with my rabbi in the congregation. And we would talk. We'd figure things out. And spending time with believers. You get to go out in the world, it's going to say, go this way, go that way. You're with people whose sole purpose is to invest in the kingdom of God and to see it expand in this world. You're in a good trajectory. Being connected to central command, being connected to the elders here, to the shamashim, to those even in lay leadership. Now we're all connected to the head, right, Yeshua? We have to be connected. We have to be working together. We have to have the same objective, which benefits the body, the collective, and also the individual. It's really important for us to win, that we have a central command, one that works together, one that invests, and one that also receives orders well to go out and to bless outside. Next. I made this. So, like that, with my daughter on my lap. This is a map of Northern Virginia, and those little dots represent different aspects of the Jewish community. And that heart is where we are. And that going out of the heart is blood we're pumping. We strengthen the heart, we can pump more blood. And we're not exactly centrally located, but not a bad location. But as we invest in here, to the congregation, invest in the kingdom of God, we invest where the presence of God dwells mightily, the blood will pump out. And our efforts outside of the heart, if you will, this is the heart, our efforts outside of the heart will be strengthened because the heart will be stronger. Right? It says, the Spirit, it says in the scriptures that the Spirit wasn't sent out because Yeshua hadn't been glorified. When Yeshua is glorified, the Spirit goes out. And this is why I keep pushing it. We push in the Spirit, lift up the name of Yeshua, worship God, so that when we go out strong and empowered. That our chavarot are not, yes, it's time to fellowship, but it's the time also to engulf ourselves in the presence of God. And it's also another place for us to invite other people to come in and experience. Have you ever received, you know, the power of the blood of Yeshua? What are you talking about? Let me show you. Because I'm connected to the heart and I got this blood pumping through me and you need it. During this time of Hanukkah, take an account of your temple, of yourself, where the Spirit of God does dwell. And ask yourself, how can I be connected more to the heart? Where is my treasure? Where is my heart? What am I centered around? Remember, the tabernacle is at the center of the community, the presence of God. That's what strengthens the community. The more we invest in this heart, the stronger we will be as a community and as individuals. The more we will know by the leading of the Spirit, the greater the sense of the will of God and for us as Ohev and also for individuals will be known. And we'll be able to reach into the Jewish community because the blood of Yeshua will run wildly within us. As we read in the book of Acts, we go to the next slide, please. It says, day by day they continued with one mind, spending time at the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They were sharing meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord was adding to their number those being saved. Every day. Why can't it happen today? I can't answer that, but what I can tell you is that the way we can work towards it is that by strengthening this heart and centering our treasures around the things of God within this community, pressing into the Spirit, worshiping God, and having a kingdom mind focus, so that when we go out, all we do is see people with the eyes of love and want to bless them and tell them about the love of Yeshua. So that we see, I won't stop. If you get sick of me, too bad. I want to see people come in here, Jewish people, by droves. And we're going to have to do that by investing in here. So we go out there that the presence of God is so mighty. I mean, I cannot wait to see, like, when Peter would walk by in his shadow, would heal people. Nothing, there's no difference between those guys and us guys. It's just that they were centered around the kingdom of God, the presence of God. That's all they thought about. Again, you can do other things, but again, their heart was there. I also encourage you to read Psalm 133. As people are unified, God commands blessing to flow. And in John 17, as we're unified, as we're together, people will know that God sent Yeshua. So this Hanukkah season, may we be more unified, more invested in the body of Messiah, more strengthening the heart of God in this community, in the body of Messiah, so that blood may pump out into the Jewish community and even bless the non-Jews with the love of God found only in Messiah Yeshua. Amen.